The epistle appointed to be read for this, the fifth Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter. Beloved, be all like-minded in prayer, compassionate, lovers of the brethren, merciful, reserved, humble, not rendering evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but contrariwise blessing. For unto this were you called, that you might inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek after peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you suffer anything for justice's sake, blessed are you. So have no fear of their fear, and do not be troubled. But hallow the Lord Christ in your hearts. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." You have heard that it was said to the ancients, "Thou shalt not kill," but that whoever shall kill shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, "Raca," shall be liable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, "Thou fool," shall be liable to the fire of Gehenna. Therefore, if thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has anything against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, a couple of points from the bulletin first before we begin. Father Francis says that there will be catechism class this morning. So somehow hide between the raindrops, which is all right. We need the rain. And also, I caution you, please, parents, look after your children right now while we are in the process of the construction outside, that they do not get themselves into trouble and hurt themselves. Of course, you know, when construction, there are all kinds of things in the way that can hurt somebody. So watch your children so that they do not injure themselves in the things that are outside, the falling things or whatever. We are, as you might well suspect, in the process of getting ready to install and to set up the statue of Christ the King. And please pray that we can do this without any injury, without any damage or whatever, so that when the Feast of Christ the King comes up in October, that we will be able to dedicate and bless that statue. That we here, in our own little way, be it ever so small, will indeed give grace and blessing to Christ our King. And that even here, that as that statue looks out, will expand its kingship, his kingship, throughout the world and before the eyes of everybody. So please pray that that takes place. And of course, Saint Benedict had to give way, and we're moving him. We're not. He's being refurbished and reestablished and set up in his own place elsewhere. So please pray as we do these things, not for any reasons of grandeur for a place like this, but only for the reasons of giving glory to God, only for the reasons of producing God and presenting God to a mankind who does not even think about God or the things that pertain to God anymore. That thinking of God is old-fashioned. Thinking of God is not right. And so here we are trying to produce those things which present God to mankind. There is a little act in today's bulletin, act of trust to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I recommend that you read this prayer carefully, and you might do something to incorporate that, at least in your thinking, as your daily prayers. All of you are aware of the fact that we are going to go into a more in-depth work and presentation of prayer. It was really scheduled to start this morning in the bulletin, but we are going to, I saw this nice little bit that came out of a certain book called The Ascent to Calvary, and I could not pass it up as being introductory to this work on prayer. And on the front side of the bulletin, we have the little thing there, a little presentation on what of all things in our today life is important and in today's life is the most forgotten, and that is silence. What do we mean by silence? It would ill behoove us to go into something as deep as prayer and prayer life if we do not understand the kind of atmospheric condition, the kind of weather condition that we should surround ourselves before we go into a consideration about prayer. What do we talk about at all? And with these so-called little phones, Bell cell phones that are out today, you think that people have these things glued to their ears. They're always talking to somebody. And why is that? Perhaps it could be that they are just simply afraid to be quiet. They are afraid to be alone. And they've got to be bonded with somebody, somewhere. And they talk about the most unnecessary things that could be imagined. And perhaps even not good things that can be imagined. Why are we afraid to be alone? Why are we afraid simply not to be gabbing with anybody about anything? If nothing else, as we read labels in the grocery store, we've got to call up somebody to tell them about the latest label that we have read in the grocery store. Complete useless talk. Every day, my beloved people, when we get out of bed, first thing every morning, we walk through the doors of a brand new day. And we wonder what that brand new day has got in store for us. And we wonder what it is that we are supposed to do in that new day that will be helpful to us. And for too many people, the first thoughts of the new day are, what is in it for me? What must I do to increase my security? And today, what must I do to protect my investment and all such like? Are we to forget about that? I didn't say that. I'm not implying that. The house of God must be ruled by the wise. We understand that. And we must do that up to a prudent point. Remember, our blessed Lord himself had something to say about the poor man who, when the master went off, gave out his money to 1, 2, 3 of his servants, and one came back and doubled his amount when he returned it to his owner, and the second one doubled his amount, and the third one went out, and he was scared, and he buried his because he didn't want to lose it. And so he was cast out into the darkness, poor man. Even our Lord talked about that. So the house of God must be wisely ruled by the wise. But our Lord also said we must put first things first. And what are first things? Our souls. And as we walk into each new day, our program must be, what must I do today to save, to help save my immortal soul? We're told to read, we're told to read, and read we do. And we pick up a book, any book. And we read through that book as though we were reading through a novel. The book, there's nothing wrong with reading good novels. Again, prudence. But the books that we should pick up to read should be books in general that will help pick me up and help me to determine what must I do to help me in my program to save my soul. Books that will tell me what will it be like if after a life, after my whole life, I lose my soul. What will loss of soul do to me? Me is a soul, me, myself. What is loss of soul like? And how afraid am I to even think about such? And when I do think about such, that I quiver and shake at the very thought of it. My beloved people, that's where we must go, to think of what it is to suffer the loss of our souls. When we read a book, are we looking for just plain information? Or are we looking for that which is really going to be helpful to me in the program of saving my soul? And so we rush through that book and run to another, and then to another, and then to another. And then we start quoting to people, authors that we have read. I don't care about the authors. I want to know what that book is trying to tell me. And I must look in that book of all the important words that are written between the lines of the book. There is where the answer is to my problem. And I must be conscientious in locating that word. I must be conscientious in applying that word to my way of life. We hear week after week and year after year the same message, the same word. There's only one thing to talk about, and that is, what must I do? What is the weather condition that I must produce around myself that will be conducive to my saving myself? We speak of saving our souls as if our souls were some kind of a thing that we're going to protect it, keep it from getting lost. When I speak of saving my soul, I mean of saving myself. Because my soul is me, and I am my soul. And that's where I must place all of my primary interest, is in saving myself from the fires of hell. Please try to visualize what hell is. That it is not just a place of, well, it's just inconvenient. I don't have what I want. Hell is a place of extreme and excessive and unbelievable suffering and deprivation. An eternity of that. My beloved people, we have been told about eternity. And for the sake of those who might just be here for the first time or the only time of just passing through as guests or visitors, may I repeat it. And let us presume, let us assume, and this is, look at it and listen to it carefully. Let us think for a second that a little bird might go to the mighty ocean and the immense ocean once every 1,000 years. And every 1,000 years, that little bird will take one drop of water out of the ocean and carry it away. When that bird empties the ocean, eternity will just be beginning. And to make that little example more graphic, how many times has that little bird, how many trips has that little bird made to the ocean since the birth of Christ? Two. That little bird has made two trips, has removed two drops of water out of that ocean since the birth of Christ. That is not just make-believe thinking. That is not just fantasy thinking. And we will take a momentary bit of selfish pleasure and idle talk and distraction and prayer and whatever else we may go after, something that lasts perhaps 5 minutes. And we will put that in exchange for one trip to the ocean. That is just downright poor business, if nothing else. That is what we speak of and think of when we're talking about eternity. And imagine hell and all of its attributes and promises for that amount of time. If that's what I'm here for, if that's what I look for as I get up in the morning and look through the doors of each new day, if that is what I'm looking for, I had better go see a doctor, because there's something wrong with my evaluation of things in my head. And how many people there are who will play games around that one point. And as they look through those doors, they see the new day, and they sit there on the edge of their beds, and they think of the various and sundry ways they can get around facing their responsibilities. My dear people, it ain't going to work. And you can come up with the best books that have ever been written, and if you and I do not go to the source of where this instruction really exists, we deserve what we get. And there is no way to talk our way out of it. There is no way. Now, I'm not saying that everybody has to join a monastery or a convent. I didn't say that. But I am saying that the life of the lay person and the purpose of the lay person remains the same for the monk and the nun. And that each of us has to go in the same direction, and each of us has to look at that door. The monk and the nun has to look at that door, open door, as he looks through to the new day, or her new day, and must adjust thinking accordingly. We have no choice. I try to, as often as possible, put it in the first person singular, because it appears I may be talking to you. I am talking to you. But I am talking to me first. And I see my own deficiencies before I can see your deficiencies. And I've got to do what I'm talking about, or else I become a castaway. I become a Pharisee. And in this morning's gospel, we were warned, unless our way of doing things is better than what the great holy ones, scribes and Pharisees do, there is no chance for me. And it is presented this way time after time. There is no other way to say it. And so we progress. And we must learn, as is going to be pointed out to you in today's bulletin, when you read that little, it's a very wonderful bit of information, well, I don't want to call it information, but instruction. A very wonderful bit of instruction. Silence. I cannot hear the word of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I cannot hear that word that He is directing at me and that he is instructing me if my mouth is going a mile a minute with useless prattle. And as you think about it, and you think on what you have already this morning, as I already this morning have talked about, how much of it could have been left unsaid in silence? In silence. We are afraid of silence. We are afraid of being alone. We are afraid to be alone with God, because God gets a bit too nosy with my affairs. And so, dear God, please, I love you. You know that. You know very well that I love you. I tell you that all day long. I love you, Lord. But please, you know, stay away. Don't get too involved with my way of life, because you get in the way, God. Don't get in my way. Because if you do, I won't be able to love you, Lord, as I go to my sinful pleasure. That's where we must meditate. That's what the book, a good book, is telling us. We will not get away with being sinners. We will not get away with manipulation of others. And least of all will we get away with trying to manipulate God. And in our way of life, and some of us, you know, you will get this argument. Well, look, I've been real good for the last 2 days. Don't you think that's progress? I am really a holy person. I have done this, that, for the last 2 days I've been good. Pay no attention to that word. When that person can come to me and tell me for the last 10 years, for the last lifetime, I have worked to avoid sin, then you can believe that person. Then you can believe that that person means business. That that person is really working according to God's plan. God told me what to do, and I must obey. And as I look at that little sparrow who goes to the ocean and takes one drop, just imagine what eternity is as we go through life for 5 minutes worth of manipulation, and how we've got the world fooled by our goodness, by our virtue. There is no virtue in manipulation. There is no virtue in trying to fool God. God looks only for honesty in all things. And wherever honesty is missing, God is not there. So, my beloved people, as we go into this prayer program of prayer, first of all, let us work to produce within ourselves that atmosphere which is conducive to prayer. What is prayer but a lifting up of our minds, lifting up of our souls, lifting up of our hearts and so on to God? That's all that prayer is. It's as simple as that, and as unsophisticated as that. My beloved people, as we go on now, when we start counting down the day, the Sundays after Pentecost, today is the fifth Sunday. How soon it will be the 25th Sunday and the end of the year again. Do you understand that it has been 10 years this year since we were looking at midnight mass at Christmas for the lights to go out? 10 years this year when we were looking at that period of preparation for when the lights go out. 10 years this year. How quickly it goes as we scoff at that little bird. 10 years. My beloved people, there's only one message you get here, and that is how I and you can save our souls as we look through that open door every morning. May God bless you.